The kiss here just isn't a kiss of affection. It's a kiss of reconciliation, a kiss of peace. The son is trying to get out his speech, but the father is smothering him with the love, with the hugs, with the kisses. What kind of a love is this? How many things right has this son done to deserve this kind of welcome? Well, as I see it, there's nothing he's done right. Well, maybe one thing. He came back home. The father has three gifts for this son. Gifts meant to heal the shame that this son has endured. The son had said, I'm just a sinner. The father said, take off those filthy clothes. Go get a robe for him. In fact, get the best robe in the house. That, of course, was the father's robe, signifying his purity. Cover up all the sin, the shame of my son. The son had lost his identity. I'm not worthy to be your son. The father says, yes, you still are. Put a ring on his finger, signifying he's still my heir. He has my authority. The son had lost any sense of dignity. I'm just a slave. No, put shoes on his feet, which in that culture, slaves did not wear shoes. For everything the son had lost, the father restores, brings no judgment against him. He knows the son has brought enough judgment on himself. It's time for healing, and he wraps him in his embrace of love. And then he throws a party. Kill the fattened calf, he says, which is a term that means a public celebration. Restore him back, not only to me, the father says, but to the whole community. And they begin to celebrate. When the older brother hears what happens, he goes into a rage. He refuses to go into the party. But the father loves that son, and he goes out after him. And he pleads with them, and he says, Father, for all these years I've slaved for you. I've never disobeyed you. You've never thrown a party for me and my friends. And what the father really is saying to him, Son, you've always been with me. We could have had a party anytime you wanted to. See, that son also had wandered away from the love of the father. The younger son had outwardly wandered away, but this one was inwardly separated, all around his father, but never enjoying him. Performing, yes. Slaving, yes. But resenting it, angry, not able to enter into the joy of the father. And when the parable ends, we don't know if that son comes into the feast or not. But really, that's not the point. The point is the father loves both. The father brings blessing on both. The father has healing for both. The father wants fellowship with both. One, we know, receives it. One allows himself to be loved by the father. One allows himself to be celebrated over. We don't know what happens to the other. But the father can rest that he has loved them both. Some years ago in the city I live in California, I saw an example of some of the principles in this story. In our city, there were two teenagers that I knew. Both of them had fathers who were pastors. The one son's father was pastor of one church. The girl's father was the pastor of a different church. But these two became sweethearts together, these two young people. And everyone felt good about their relationship. They were young, but they were mature. And because of their relationship, the two churches began to connect a little bit, and the two pastors began to connect. And for those of us watching this, it was humorous in some ways because the one pastor was from a very conservative church background, at least many years ago. The other pastor from a non-conservative church background. On the different ends, perhaps, theologically in some ways, but because of their children, they began to connect, and it was a good thing to see. I knew both of the pastors, but I knew the pastor of the son the better of the two.